Good morning, family. It is good to see you here. I'm so thankful that you joined us today. If you haven't noticed, I know that it's a little different today, but this is the Lord's Supper set for all of us this morning. We're going to do it just a little different. So a little later in the service, when we pass out the elements, I'll give you a few more instructions there. One of the things that I failed to mention to you this morning is that if you have a prayer request this morning, would you write it down on the back of the slip in the bulletin? And you can put it in our prayer slip box that's in the back. If you're visiting with us and you wouldn't mind sharing some contact information so we can send you an email or a text message, would you send that to us as well? You can also, if you're watching online, you can send that to us at the address you'll see at the end of the program. But folks, it's important that when you come here, that you don't withdraw. That's what God's family is all about, amen? It's being together. And that's one of the purposes of us joining together in the Lord's Supper. The purpose of communion is fourfold. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Everything is going to be based around the Lord's Supper this morning. We're going to have a little bit of singing during the sermon. I've asked Pat and Joy Codel to come and sing with me this morning, right in the middle of the sermon. And I tell you what, we've got some really sad news for you. We're losing several families in our church. They're moving away. David Gillum is going to be moving to Huntsville soon. We're going to miss him like crazy. We're going to miss Brennan and Callie Miller, who, congratulations on the new jobs and the promotions, by the way. But we're going to miss them. I don't know. I tell you what, we don't know. Somebody's going to have to come in and fill in their shoes. Amen. And then, of course, you may know by now that Pat and Joy Codel have taken a position at Leeds Baptist Church. Did I say that right? Like I said, First Baptist Leeds. And he is going to be serving there in an associate capacity and doing the music. And Joy's going to be his right-hand lady. And so, doggone, we're going to miss y'all so much. But I'm so thankful that God is using you. You go with our prayers, okay? You really do. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? There are four things that God's word tells us we should look to when we come to communion, when we come to the Lord's service. Four things. And I want you to look with me here. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? We're just going to stand this brief passage, verses 23 through 25. And I want us to note that the very first thing that we're told whenever we come to the Lord's Supper, whenever we receive the Lord's Supper together, there are four things. And the first one that he says that we're to do is look back on what Jesus has done. Four looks. First, look back on what Jesus has done. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," you know what night that is, right? The night before he was taken by the Romans and before he was crucified. It says, "The night before he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant.'" What does covenant mean? The new agreement. The new agreement. The new understanding between us and God. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do," now remember this, "this do as often as you drink it." How? In, what's the word? Remembrance of me. Father, your understanding to our hearts is needed. So many things that we are to do as we remember. Help us, God, not to forget. For Lord, we are called by you in command to remember. Help us, Father, never to forget the price that was paid for our spiritual freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Now notice this. God's word tells us that Jesus Christ laid down his life. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life. But understand this, not just at the cross. People, this is so important. This is an illustration, an example for us. It is so important to remember that Christ Jesus laid down his life, not just at the cross, but first through his entire life in the way that he lived. Do you remember? He lived the perfect life. Before Jesus Christ could ever lay down his life in a sacrifice that would be accepted by God the Father, he had first to be the spotless lamb. You recall that at the time of sacrifice, all God's people had to bring a spotless sacrifice, perfect. People, before he could die on the cross, he had to live a perfect life. That's why it's so important for us to understand that Jesus Christ never sinned. Otherwise, his sacrifice would not have been worthy. He laid down his life day after day, year after year. Listen, one moment to the next is hard for me. And yet Christ Jesus literally moment to moment, step by step, surrendered himself to the Heavenly Father's will. Why is that so important? Because that's what bought your freedom. He walked sinless in harmony with the Father, and he never sinned in action, in word, or in thought. From his birth to the cross, Jesus was sinless, and he gave himself as God's sacrificial lamb to die on a diabolical instrument of torture for our sin, for my sin, for your sin. That's why this song is so important to me. The old rugged cross. Will you sing it with me?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it some for
Said. Amen. Folks, we must look back and see what Jesus did. The second thing that we do, the second look is we look ahead until he comes. Folks, we look back at what Jesus did, but the glory in it is that we look forward to his coming back. And the Lord's Supper, the communion that we take together, he reminded us. Look at verse 26. Look with me, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back. We, dear friends, have the opportunity to shine out for Christ, and we look forward to his return. We are to look for his appearing. We're to look for that special crown. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Would you find that scripture? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to read with me. Mark your Bible here, won't you? Put a little marker in there. Put your tab there, and later on you can get one of those little sticky notes and put it in there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 8, it tells us about a special crown. Have you heard about the crowns that we're going to throw at Jesus' feet? Here's one of them that you can get. Here's one of them that you can earn, if you will. It's a reward that you're going to get so that you're going to be able to lay it at Jesus' feet. In chapter 4, beginning with verse 6 of 2 Timothy, the scripture says this. Now follow along with me. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. In other words, Paul says, I am serving and being poured out for God. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. What day? That day when we appear before him at that throne, at the throne where he gives us our rewards. And it says, on that day, the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but who? All those who have loved his appearing. Now, what in the world does that mean? How can it mean anything but this? That you look forward to the arrival and the coming of Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you, how many of you have children at home that when you tell them, here's a chore that I want done, and when I come back, I want it completed. And when you drive up in the driveway or you come into the house and they meet your eyes, you know immediately whether or not they've done it. Right? When I would come home, I remember Dad would tell me, he said, son, you can do whatever you want to today, but before you go off on the bike, before you play baseball, before you do anything, he said, I want this garage swept and cleaned and put in order. You know what needs to be done. And when Dad would come home, and I would hear that door, boom. And if I hadn't got it done, I did not love his appearing. Are you with me? Dear friend, if we love Christ, if we are serving our Lord, if we're doing like Paul said, and we are being poured out as a drink offering, if we are serving Him, if we're running the race as we should, dear friends, we are going to love the coming of the Lord. I want to ask you, don't you think that this is one of the most overlooked aspects of receiving the Lord's Supper? That we are to be looking for His second coming. We're to look for His appearing. Listen, friends, we're to look for His coming. We are to love His appearing. You can only do that if indeed you are living for Him. For those who love the Lord, for those who are living for the Lord, there's coming a day when there will be no more heartache. There will be peace forevermore on His happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
What a day.
There is
coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Listen.
There'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Sing it with us. Sing the chorus.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Pat. Now, for those of you who have not yet been able to come back, you're still staying at home because of pre-existing conditions or at risk, I want you to know that starting next week, Pat and Joy and myself will be having some hymn sings. And you can go on YouTube and watch it too at home, even if not even for the service. But starting next week, there's going to be three different sets. There'll be hymn set one, hymn set two, hymn set three. And there's going to be just some good old-fashioned hymns that you can watch before the service if you prefer hymns. And so, man, I love the songs we sang this morning. By the way, there you are, brother. Love how you picked the songs to go with what we do. What a blessing the ministry that you have here is to us, dear friend. But if you'd like those different hymns, you can do that next week. There is the first look. And that first look is that we need to look and remember what Jesus did. The second look is that we look ahead until He comes. And then the third look is that you need to look into your own heart. Folks, you need to look into your own heart. I love that our God is a practical God. Amen? I love that he is so practical in so many ways. Our Creator, the one who made us, who knew us, knew that he was going to have to send his son, and yet he made us anyway. So he built in a safety check. In one of the most important forms of worship, he said, I want you to do this. Never forget to take the Lord's Supper. Do you remember? That's one of our ordinances, which means commands. We have two ordinances. One of them is baptism. He says, you do this, showing my death. Secondly, he said, you remember this Lord's Supper and you do this until I return. These commands. And he says, I command you when you do this to remember these things. Look at verse 27 following. Open your Bibles. Verse 27 through 29. Look how he built in this safety check. He said, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Folks, aren't we guilty of the body and blood of Christ already? We are. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. It was our sin that called for his shed blood. And yet he said that if you will receive my forgiveness, if you will believe in me, if you will call on me, he says, I will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And folks, that is the only way that we are removed from blood guiltiness, is through the blood of Christ. And when we sin, we are reminding ourselves and the Lord and this world that we are guilty. He says, do not take this bread or drink this cup in an unworthy manner. Now, what does it mean in an unworthy manner? Listen, folks, there could be a million ways to take it in an unworthy manner, but let me explain it in this way. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're taking it in an unworthy manner. If you take it lightly, if you take it for granted, if you do it flippantly, you just tack it on at the end of the service and it means nothing to you, you have done it in an unworthy manner. That's why when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we take time to stop, to look, and folks, to examine ourselves. And that's why he says, don't take it in an unworthy manner, but examine yourself. For a man who will judge himself does not need to be judged by God. Who do you want to be judged by? Do you want to take care of it yourself? Or do you want to wait until God says, now I'm going to take care of it? That's what he's saying. Examine yourself. Why? It didn't say examine one another because, folks, we just might get before one another and go, hey, you look pretty good, brother. How about me? You look good. Do I look good? Nobody knows you. Look at me. Nobody knows you like you. Because, folks, we can put a good foot forward, can't we? We can look holy and we can look pious and we can look pretty good to the world, but God knows our heart and God knows when there is hidden sin. God knows when something has to be taken care of. Dear friend, examine yourself. You know what belongs in God's body and you know what does not. Don't you? Don't we? Would you take some time now? Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? And would you just stop and reflect right now? Would you pray? This is an opportunity for you, wherever you are, to pray. God's word says, remember this and do this, but before you do, examine yourself. Would you prepare your heart? Ask God to forgive your sin. Confess it before the Lord. Confess your wandering. Confess your lack of worship. Confess how long it's been since you've been in His Word. Confess how long it's been since you looked back to see what He did. Confess that you need to look forward to His coming. Jesus, we certainly stand before you blood guilty. Lord Jesus, forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us from our unrighteousness. We don't deserve it. But we are so thankful, God, that you said that you loved us so much that you gave your only Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, dear friend, don't take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. I would suggest to you that you bypass this morning if you've never made things right with God. I suggest, dear friend, if you do know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you've not made things right with him as you should, then you bypass taking the Lord's Supper this morning. You examine yourself. If you need time this morning to come to this altar and pray, you can come even now. Our praise team is going to lead us in a time of invitation. If you need to come and kneel and pray, if you need to pray, kneel at your seat. You do business with God and make things right, won't you? We're going to give you a few quiet moments to take care of things before the Lord. Your pastor will be here to receive you and pray with you if you'd like. You come as God leads. Our men are going to pass out the elements this morning. They're a bit different. They're self-contained. But they're going to share with you, and just hold them and keep them until we're ready to do this together. Now, if you need gluten-free, we've prepared that. Would you just raise your hand, and our Deacon Gary will get to you. If you need gluten-free, raise your hands. We'll get those to you. Deacons, if you would, share those with all. Has everyone been served? Anybody? Amen. Turn the cup with the juice down. You're going to open the bottom first, so go ahead and take that bottom one off that has the wafer in there. And when we get to the portion of the juice, you'll turn it back up and remove the top for that one, of course. I know this is a bit clinical. But folks, what we're remembering is not. Amen? God's Word told us that on the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, that He took the bread and He broke it. You know, that symbol of His body being broken. Can you imagine what it takes to take one of those old tough pieces of bread that the leaven had been taken out, so it hadn't risen. It was short dough and it was tough. And He had to rip it apart, symbolic of what was going to happen to His body. We look back at what Jesus did for us. Lived the perfect life as the sacrificial lamb, and then gave Himself, His body broken for you. In remembrance of Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, take and eat. Scripture says then that He took the cup. And He said, this cup is symbolic of the blood that will be shed for you. We do not believe that this becomes the blood of Christ. Nothing can replace that, amen. But His blood had to be shed, because God's Word says that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. He said, this is the new covenant. Not the New Testament. The Testament is the Word. The covenant is the agreement. And what was the agreement? That if you would look to Christ Jesus, that if you would believe with all your heart that He is God's Son, that He lived His life without sin, that He died on the cross, and that if you had put your faith and trust in Him, that the blood that was shed on that cross would cover you from head to toe, from birth to death, until the day that you stand before God. And He said that you would be redeemed. The new covenant, the new agreement through Christ. His blood shed for you. Take and drink. I want you to notice one more thing before we leave today. Keep that cup in your fingers, would you? Keep that cup in your fingers. You can keep that plate in the background. I like it, brother. Keep it going. I want you to look at one more scripture. In verse 33, He said, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Now, why did He say that? Except for this reason, to make sure that we did not take for granted the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, family. We're not like family. We are family. He said, wait on one another. Because you see, there were some who didn't have to work. And they would get there early to what they called the agape feast. And they would have food, and they would have the wine, and they would have fellowship. And they would eat everything before the poor guys got there. Because the poor guys had to work in the field until it got dark. And so the poor brothers and sisters who had to work would get there, and the fellowship would be over. I'm going to tell you, there is not much worse than being there when as the party's dismissing. He said, you missed it. Friend, he said, wait on one another. Now, if I can't take that to this next part, then you're not listening very well. But God's word says that we are to care for the others as more important than ourselves. We're to consider them as more important. Dear friend, we need in the Lord's Supper to look back at what Jesus did, to look ahead until he comes, to look inside and make sure that we are made right with Christ. But we also need to look around to see who needs our ministry. Fellow believers, those who need to become fellow believers. And we need to love them in the love of the Lord. Folks, we have an opportunity now to go out. Now, this isn't a very fancy cup, but you know what? I think it'll be a pretty good reminder. Would you take it with you? You put it on the dash of your car. You put it on the cabinet in your kitchen or on the counter in your bathroom. And every morning this week when you see it, you're reminded that you have four things to look for this week. Amen? And by all means, would you look for an opportunity to care for a brother, to care for a friend, to care for a neighbor. Next week, we're going to start back at the end time series, and I'm going to be preaching on the rapture of God's church. You come back. There are going to be some people who need to hear this message, and you know it. Dear friend, I don't know how many weeks it's going to take me to get through that. It might be just one. I don't know. But I know this. We need to remember that at any moment, the secret coming of Christ could be today. And where two are walking together in the field, one's going to be snatched away. Two women are going to be in the home. One's going to be taken and one's going to be left. You know people that shouldn't be left. No one should be. But you know people who are not ready. Would you stand with me? Eyes open and up. Father, here we are. We know we need your help. We just don't do it well. But with your help we can, and all God's people said. So Lord, our reminder, the bread and the cup, to look. We'll not miss it. Would you help us to serve and serve you well? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. As we're dismissed, you can minister to one another. If you have a prayer request or if you have a visitor slip, would you lay it in our boxes before you leave? God bless you. Be dismissed. (Clears throat)